your Bible with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And today we're in the finale of our Family Matters series, and we're going to be talking about working through conflict. Working through conflict. Family is important, and we as Christians need to learn how to work through conflict, because conflict is going to come. I don't know about you, but I'm part of a family that conflict happens. It's happened in my life a lot. Some of it's by my fault. Some of it's by someone else's fault. You know, some of you might have experienced a failed marriage. Some of you might have experienced adversity in your marriage. Or maybe your relationship with your kids aren't that great. Or maybe your relationship with your parents aren't that great. Or maybe your brothers and sisters, you just don't get along, never did. And sometimes it's because of some issues that we failed to resolve with in our life, and we pass the blame game on other people. Well, as a Christian, we have a responsibility. And I just want to tell you this. It's the first point. I've got to jump right in because I took up a lot of time in the worship. But the very first thing I want you to understand, if you're taking notes, is this. You are only responsible for your part. That's it. Conflict comes in your family, and sometimes it comes against us that we didn't have any part to play. And maybe you were molested as a young person by a family member. Maybe there are some things that happen in your family that you don't like to talk about. Maybe your dad wasn't there or your mom wasn't there. Maybe you were adopted. Maybe you grew up in the foster care system. Maybe some bad things happened. Maybe you got cheated on and your husband left you for somebody else, or vice versa. Your wife left you for somebody else. Maybe some stuff has happened in your life. And what I want you to understand is you're only responsible for your part. God's not going to punish you for what someone else did, but there's blessing on the way that you handle these situations. And if you mishandle these situations, you will be living at less than God's best. I don't know about you, but I want all of God's best for my life. Someone say amen. Amen. See, you're only responsible for yourself, for your actions, your part, and your stance. That's it. You are only responsible for yourself. That's the good news. The bad news is, you're only responsible for yourself. The good news is you're only responsible for yourself, but that's the bad news too, because that means you have to make a decision. That means when those hurts come our way, we can either choose to let bitterness grow or learn how to resolve and work through those issues. We can choose to be mad at the world and want revenge, or we can choose how to love those that hurt us, find a way, a godly way, to do good to those that despitefully use us, learn how to be like Jesus in situations where we really want to be like the devil and stab somebody. You ever had one of those moments where you said, man, you lucky I am saved right now, because if I didn't know Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Boy, I'll stab you with this pencil. See, all of us can feel some of those emotions, which are valid emotions. Hurt, it's a real emotion. Frustration because someone offended us is a real emotion. But the blessing or the lack of blessing happens on your reaction to what happens to you. I'm going to show you that in Genesis chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to be talking about two brothers, Cain and Abel. I'll be reading out the Message translation. And it might sound a little bit different, but follow with me. It says this: Adam slept with Eve, his wife, and she conceived and had Cain. She said, I've gotten a man with God's help. And then she had another baby, Abel. And Abel was a herdsman and Cain a farmer. Time passed and Cain brought an offering to God from the produce of his farm. And Abel also brought an offering, but from the firstborn animals of his herd, choice cuts of meat. God liked Abel and his offering, but Cain and his offering didn't get his approval. And Cain lost his temper and went into a sulk. Let me just give you a side point before I jump on. But God will never take second place. And that's why God wouldn't accept Cain's offering, but he accepted Abel, because Cain brought some of what he had, but Abel brought to God his first and his best. See, that's why we tithe. This is just a side note, because some marriages end because of financial decisions. That's what statistics say. So I'm trying to help you be smart with your money. See, when we bring to God what's his first and we give him our best, there's a blessing on that. But when we just bring him what we want, there's no blessing in that. God doesn't honor that. Wonder why? Because God will never take second place. He can't take second place. He's the first and the last. He's not the second. And so I'm just telling you, just a side note, for some of you that just throw a couple bucks in the plate, you're doing yourself no good. Because God will never take second place. I know that doesn't sit well with you, but I want you to understand there's a blessing that comes on obedience when we really put God the first of our life. There's a blessing, not just with our finances, but with our time, our talents, our service. When we put him first, there's a blessing that happens. When we put him first in our marriage, there's a blessing that happens. When we put him first in our parenting, there's a blessing that happens. When we put him first with how we work on our workplace and how we treat people, there's a blessing that happens. God just doesn't want what you want to give him when you want to give it. He wants first and the best. But watch this, verse 6. God spoke to Cain. Why this tantrum? Why the sulking? If you do well, won't you be accepted? Someone should catch this. If you do well, won't you be accepted? If you do well, won't you be accepted? See, God's looking for a response from Cain. And this is what it says. It says this, that, and if you don't do well, sin is lying in wait for you, ready to pounce you. It's out to get you, and you've got to master it. Now, I want you to understand this, because when these situations, these conflicts come our way, you got to understand this, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy you. He wants you to never live at the best that God had for you. He wants you to live on less. He wants you to fail. He wants your marriage to fall to pieces. He wants your kids to hate you and you to hate your kids. He wants to destroy the family unit. He wants you to give up on trying to repair things. But that's why God says, if you respond well, basically, won't you be accepted? But if you don't, sin's coming to get you, ready to pounce on you, and it will become your master. See, how you respond changes everything. Verse 8, Cain had words with his brother. They were out in the field. Cain came. That's a tongue twister. Cain came at Abel, his brother, and killed him. And God said to Cain, where's Abel, your brother? He said, how should I know? Am I his babysitter? The message is wonderful. Verse 10, God said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is calling to me from the ground. From now on, you'll get nothing but curses from this ground. You'll be driven from the ground that has opened its arms to receive your blood of your murdered brother. You'll farm this ground, but it will no longer give you its best. You will be homeless wanderer on earth. So what I want to tell you today is, don't let the pain get the best of you. See, Cain felt some pain when God accepted his brother's offering but didn't accept his. He felt some pain. But what Cain did was allow the pain to get the best of him. And he chose to let it fester and get revenge and take matters in his own hands and be frustrated and hate and wish harm. He not only wished harm, he did harm. He killed his brother. Now watch this. It says that you'll farm the ground, but it will no longer give you its best. See, if you make the wrong decision when it comes to hurting our lives, you will live at less than God's best for your life. How long are you going to live in a less than God's best marriage because you're not responding properly? How long will you allow your relationships with your kids to be less than its best because you're not responding right? How long will you allow situations with your mom or your dad or your brothers or your sisters be less than God's best because you are not responding properly? See, it all depends on how you respond. Hurt's going to come. Offense is going to happen. People are going to make dumb decisions that are going to affect us all. The question is not what about those people and what they did to us. The real question is, how do we respond to what happens? Because there's a blessing on your life if you respond right. If you respond right, won't you be accepted? But if you respond wrong, there's a curse that's going to hit your life. And I'm not talking about living in a curse. We're blessed. I know the law has been removed. Jesus redeemed us. Absolutely. But you can still live on less than God's best for your life. I mean, how many days are you going to walk around in that marriage still holding on to something that he did 10 years ago, and now you're living on God's less than God's best because you've never responded right to that? Or how many times are you going to go to a family function and walk into the building and there's this cloud that's in the room that no one can see, but you can feel it because you didn't respond right. And so you're living on less than God's best. How long are you going to let your relationship with your kids or your relationship with your parents be what it is, living on God's less than its best because you fail to respond properly? See, the Bible also says that you'll be a homeless wanderer. Have you ever felt that way, that you're just wandering, like, how come I just don't fit in? How come my family? Well, some of that is because you're not responding right to receive the blessing that God has for you. See, the number two thing, not only are you responsible for yourself, but we got to learn to drop the F-bomb. Yeah. Let me say that again. Yeah. You got to learn how to drop the F-bomb. And when I'm talking about the F-bomb, I'm talking about forgiveness. See, it's a Christian curse word because we don't like to say it too much. It's the one thing that we kind of suffocate and push back down. Right when we think like, well, how could I ever forgive you? You did this to me. You mean you want me to forgive you? You cheated on me and left us alone. You want me to forgive you and you did this and you did that and you did this and you did that. And so forgiveness is the thing that we try to push back down because we don't want to let it go. But what you don't understand is when you keep it to yourself, that bomb kills you. And bitterness begins to poison you from the inside out, and you're the only one walking around with frustration. That's why you look at her and she's happy with another man, and every time you see her, you just, ugh, you don't want to kill that girl. Because your lack of forgiveness is keeping you captive to something that you didn't even do to yourself. Did you catch that? You didn't even do it to yourself. You're not even the one that made the dumb decision, but yet you suffer the consequence of someone else's dumb decision. Now, how dumb is that? You walk around frustrated and mad and angry and bitter and full of resentment, envious, looking for revenge for something that someone did to you. And you could easily lift that weight off your shoulders if you would just learn how to forgive. Even right now, I'm talking about forgiveness. And some of us in this room right now are going, there's no way in hell I'll ever forgive so-and-so. I said it because you're thinking it. Some of you think to yourself, there's no way, he did that, she did that. No, there's no way, he did this in my family. No way he's not going to do that. No way she's going to do that. I'm not asking you to invite him over to your house and eat dinner with him. See, some of you got to understand this because forgiveness does not mean be stupid. You know, if there's some family members, because we got to deal with real issues. If there's some family members that did some awful things to your kids, that does not mean go back to the house and let them spend the night. That's right. Forgiveness does not mean, okay, all is forgotten, we'll just go back to the way it was. No, that's not forgiveness. That's stupidity. Forgiveness is, I'm not going to let your actions dictate my life anymore, and I'm going to release these things and understand that this relationship might not ever be what it was, but I'm okay with that. Forgiveness is not being stupid. Come on, somebody. Babe, I forgive you. Go ahead and go to dinner with that woman. No. I'll slap you. You know what I'm saying? No, forgiveness is not be dumb. Forgiveness is not be a walking mat. Forgiveness is releasing the nasty toxins that will destroy you off and put them in a position where they have to make a decision. Forgiveness is saying, I choose Christ, and I'm not going to let this affect my identity. It's not going to distract me from being who I'm called to be. So I'm choosing to forgive you, even though you hurt me, the pain was real, and there might be some residue that I got to work through, but I'm choosing to forgive. It's a choice. See, you got to learn how to forgive. It's a muscle you must develop. You can't walk out of here and forgive everybody today. It's not going to happen. But what you can do is little by little learn how to operate that muscle of forgiveness. So there'll be times where it will take you less time to forgive. It's not going to take you 7 years to forgive. It might only take you 7 minutes. Some of you husband and wives need to learn this. Because you'll walk around the house and no one will say nothing. And then you just start talking like nothing happened. You get into a big old argument and all of a sudden everything hit the fan and then everyone's mad and you don't even know why everyone's mad. At least that's what guys do. We don't know why everyone's mad in the building, but they're just mad. I don't know if it was the toothpaste, the garbage, I don't know. Did I not smile when I tasted the food? I don't know why you're mad, but anyways. So you're mad and so all of a sudden it all breaks loose and then now we're just going to act nice. We're not going to talk about the hurtful things you said to me. And the hurtful things I did to you. No, see, we got to learn how to forgive. And some of you need to learn how to just man up, woman up. Drop the F-bomb. I forgive you. It hurt. Yeah, I'll get over the hurt, but I'll forgive you. Other things are a lot harder to forgive, but we still got to learn how to forgive and let those things go. Let me tell you something. My dad was not active in my life for a long time, but I couldn't hold on to that as a 33-year-old man. Still complain about my dad was never there. No, I had to learn how to forgive. He did some things in my life I'm not proud of. But guess what? I'm going to learn how to forgive. I'm going to let some stuff go, and I'm going to choose to be the man I'm called to be today and have the best relationship that I can have with him, which is not like some of your relationship with your parents. I talk to my dad maybe 3 or 4 times a year. But it's the best thing that I know. And I'm okay with having what I have. It might not be what I wanted when I was a kid. It might not. There was a lot of hurt and all kinds of different things. But guess what? I had to learn how to forgive and love him for the man who he is today, which he is not the same man he was 20 years ago. But I had to learn how to let go of some stuff and be an honorable son. Because I'm only responsible for my part. Not responsible for his. I'm responsible for mine. See, Jacob and Esau, we're going to turn to another story in Genesis chapter 33. There's these two brothers. And Jacob, his name meant deceiver, basically liar. So if there's a Jacob in here, your mama named you a liar. Just saying. It means deceiver. It means liar. And so Jacob was born with this name, deceiver and liar. And that's what he did. He deceived his own brother. He deceived his own brother and bought his birthright from his brother because his brother came back from hunting and was really hungry. And Jacob said, hey, big bro, if you give me your inheritance, if you give me the right position, because you're the older brother, but now give me the right position so I can get everything that dad has, I'll give you a bowl of soup. And Esau, dummy, trades it off for a bowl of soup. Then later on down the road, where the dad's about to die and pronounce blessing over his oldest son, Jacob gets some like fur on his body because Esau was really hairy. I don't know how hairy you got to be to get fur on your body, but whatever. And so Jacob gets some fur on his body and goes in there because his dad's blind and said, look, feel me, dad. I'm really your son Esau. Now pronounce a blessing over me. And the father pronounces a blessing over Jacob that was meant for Esau. So not only did he steal his birthright, but he stole the blessing that was rightfully his from his father. Now Esau is hot. So mad. He's ready to pull a Cain and kill his brother. So his dad tells Jacob, you got to go. You got to get out of here. You got to run for your life. And so Jacob leaves. And the Bible says 20 years, over 20 years past, these brothers have not talked to each other. Things have changed. Jacob's a different man. Matter of fact, he got a name change. He's no longer known as liar, but he's named Israel. And God did a work in his life. And he's now an honorable man. He worked 14 years to receive one bride. He was honorable. He built a business for his wife's father and did some great things. And he was no longer known as a liar, no longer known as a cheater. Things changed in his life. Esau didn't know these things were happening because they didn't talk for 20 years. But here's what happens in Genesis chapter 33. God tells Jacob to go back to his homeland, and he knows he's going to have to see his brother. In verse 1, then Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming with his 400 men. And so he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and two servants' wives. He put the servant wives and their children at the front, and Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph last. Then Jacob went ahead, and as he approached his brother, he bowed down to the ground 7 times before him. And then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him as they both wept. We can learn a lot from this story, because life can bring some bad situations. We can feel cheated as Esau did, but we don't have to remain bitter. We can remove bitterness from our lives by honestly expressing our feelings to God, forgiving those who have wronged us, and being content with what we have. Here's what I mean. When people hurt you, it's okay to tell God you're frustrated. God, David said it all the time. God, will you kill my enemies? I hate those guys. He said stuff like that. God, will you slap that lady at the Walmart next time when she... No, you know, David would say some crazy stuff. What I'm saying, though, is honestly expressing things to God. God, I'm frustrated. I don't understand what he did that to me for. I don't understand. Now, it's all right to be frustrated and cast those things, but then you got to learn how to forgive. And what that means is I'm going to let this thing go. God, I'm going to let you be the vindicator. I'm taking this off my life. And then, here's the kicker, being content with what you have left. Because what you have left might not be what you want. I don't understand why my husband cheated, but I'm choosing to forgive him, but he still might leave you. Are you going to be content with what you have left? See, sometimes it's learning that, you know what, I don't know everything I'm supposed to have, but I'm okay with knowing what I have left. See, sometimes that means you might not ever have a relationship with that person because of what they did to your life, and that's okay. Some of you have to go on just saying, I'm not going to live with bitterness anymore. It's not going to poison me. I'm going to learn how to forgive and then be content with what I have left. And what you have left might not be of what you dreamed for, but you have to learn to be content. You know, what I'm dreaming for my sons with their father is completely different than me and my father, but I'm content with what I have. And that's just one example of many things in my life where I've learned how to forgive, even though it wasn't easy, even though it was difficult. And believe me, I've had a lot of stuff happen in my life where I needed to forgive people. I've also been on the other end where I've done a lot of stupid stuff and needed forgiveness. And that's what's really hard. Because what's really hard is it's easy to see where others have wronged us, but it's hard to see where we have wronged them. It's easy to say, well, how dare they do that to me? How come they said that? That really hurt. Look what they did to me. Look where they went. It's a whole lot harder for us to see the things we said, the things we did, the places we went. Maybe not to that same person, but maybe to somebody else. Maybe we didn't do anything to our husband, but maybe we did something to our coworker, which is equally the same. See, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 through 7, there's a story where a prophet Nathan comes and talks to David. Now, David, this is King David. David was supposed to be at war, but he was at home chilling in the springtime. And all of a sudden, he went to his roof, and across the way on another roof, there was this lady taking a bath, and she was beautiful. Her name was Bathsheba. It's kind of funny. She's taking a bath. Her name's Bathsheba. Ha ha. Bathsheba knew what she was doing, by the way. Ain't no woman going up on a roof across another man's house if she don't know he was there living there. Come on. She knew what she was doing. Girls, you ain't innocent. Just got to throw that out there. And so David, he sees her and he says, hey, call that lady. Have her come into my house. I want to sleep with her. So his servants go get her. He sleeps with her. She gets pregnant. Now, she's a married woman. He sleeps with her. She gets pregnant. So she comes to David and says, David, I'm pregnant. Look at the stick. It's got the line on it. So David panics, and now he's, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. Go get your husband. I know he's at war doing what the other men are supposed to do, but we'll go get him, bring him back, and then we'll have him sleep with you, and then everyone will think it's your kid. We got some Jerry Springer, Maury Povich type stuff happening in the Bible. So David goes and gets him, and they bring him to the house, but he won't sleep with his wife. He's like, there's no way. All the other men are at war. They don't get to sleep with their wives, so how dare I sleep with my wife? So he doesn't do it. So David's like, okay, get him drunk. Get him drunk, and then he'll sleep with his wife. So lo and behold, they get him drunk. Nope, he still says, uh-uh, I'm not doing it. There's no way I'm sleeping with my wife while everyone else is at war. So David goes, okay, last resort. So he calls his people, says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to stick him in the front lines. And then we're going to say attack. And right when we attack, then all of the rest of you just retreat. And he'll get killed. That's a cold piece. So lo and behold, that's what happens. And not only did Bathsheba's husband die, but other men also died in that moment too. Because David was trying to cover up his sin. And then so here's the story picks up. So the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to tell David this story. There were two men in a certain town, one rich and one poor. And the rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle, and the poor man owned nothing but a little lamb that he had bought. And he raised that little lamb, and he grew up with his children. It ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup, and he cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. And one day, a guest arrived at the home of the rich man. But instead of killing an animal from the rich man's flock or herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for the guest. David was furious. As surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to that poor man for the one he stole and for having no pity. Verse 7, then Nathan said to David, you are that man. Let me just say this. As much as we would like to hold unforgiveness to other people, there are many places where Jesus could pop up and tell a story and go, you are that man. I know what you're saying. You don't understand. I never did that. I never, look, you can play the, I didn't do that. The truth is, all of us need forgiveness. All of us have made plenty of mistakes. Or am I the only one in the room that's made a lot of dumb decisions? I'm pretty sure all of us made some dumb decisions. Which means, since all of us need forgiveness, all of us must give forgiveness, because we can't just say, I'm going to need it, but I'm not going to give it. And here's the kicker. This is where it gets us, because the level of hurt is dependent on the closeness of the relationship. Meaning, if you go to Walmart and some lady in aisle 5 says something stupid about you, you'll just walk off like, I don't even know that lady. But let your husband say that to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, if some lady in Jamaica sees your Facebook picture and go, man, her thighs are big, you don't care. Let your husband quote on there, these are some thunder thighs. This lady needs to work. Really? You're going to put me on blast like that in front of the whole world? I'm going to kill you. See, the level of hurt is dependent on the closeness of the relationship. And the truth is that there are people in our lives that we've hurt, whether by words, whether by actions, whether by not showing up, not keeping our promises, saying hateful things. Maybe we've done some things. Now, I know all of us are perfect in the room, so we've never done those things. What's interesting is it's always easy to not want to give forgiveness because what someone did to us. It's always harder to realize we need forgiveness too. You are that man. See, and lastly, Preston, if you can come. The last thing you must do, not just recognize you're only responsible for yourself, not just dropping the F-bomb, but also you've got to learn how to shake it off. You got to learn how to shake it off. See, this is something that kind of bothers people, because you'll live with this residue or these things on your life either two ways. Either one way, you were the one that did the hurt. You're the one that did the cheating. You're the one that did the touching. You're the one that said the hurtful thing. You're the one that said that. You're the one that did that. And so you'll walk the rest of your life with this stuff on your shoulders, guilt, condemnation, and you'll live less than what God intended you to be because of some choice that you might have made 10 to 15 years ago. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've made a lot of dumb mistakes. There are a lot of women that I hurt and afflicted, done some awful things to, distorted their view of who they are and what God designed them to be. Yeah, I was a part of that, but I can't walk the rest of my life in guilt and condemnation for what I did 15 years ago, because I'm a new creation. The old is past, the new has come, and I can't let what happened 10 years ago stop me from being who I'm called to be today. And some of you got to learn that, because some of you were the one that failed in your marriage. You're the one that messed it up. You're the one that hurt your kid. You're the one that reason why it didn't work. You're the one that did the hurt. And I'm just telling you, don't live there any longer. Don't walk with that guilt and that condemnation that you're a failure. Yeah, you failed. You made some bad mistakes, but God can forgive you and God can change you and God can restore you. And you can't keep walking as a mess up, because that's not how God sees you. Yeah, maybe you weren't there for your kids when they were younger. Maybe you made some poor decisions. Maybe you were hooked on drugs and lost your kids. But you can't live there any longer. Y'all learn to shake that off. Or maybe you're walking around with the hurt of what people did to you. Still mad about something that happened 10 years ago. Still mad because this or that, or you were adopted, still mad because you didn't have what you thought you were supposed to get. I just want you to understand something. All of us will experience this in one form or another. All of us will not be exempt from this. Trials and tribulations will come to all of us. The question is how do you respond when it comes? See, some of you have been walking around with this chip on your shoulder, mad at the world because of what someone did to you. And so now all men are dogs and all people like that are the same and all something. And no, my kids can't go nowhere. And the list goes on and on and on and on. Why? Because you got bitterness and anger and frustration on your life. And you need to learn how to just shake that off, because that is well preventing you from being who God calls you to be. Walking in condemnation and walking in bitterness are both preventers from you being who God calls you to be. I love this because in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 through 5, it says this: one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. And then he sent them out telling everybody about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you've abandoned those people to their fate. These guys were coming with a good word. They were walking around from city to city trying to tell people about the hope of glory. You know, sometimes you can have all the best intentions and everything go wrong. Sometimes you can try everything in your marriage and that person still leave. Sometimes you can love your children and provide the best for them and they still go haywire. Sometimes you can do everything you know how to do and it just doesn't work. But let me tell you something, shake it off. Because God's blessing is right around the corner. See, it can't stop you from the cause that's within you. It can't stop you from being the man or the woman that God called you to be. No, sometimes you gotta shake off the dust, let it settle where it settles, and go, you know what? I'm not going to live here anymore. And I'm going because God's got something ahead of me. And if I stay stuck, I will miss out on the next blessing. See, he told the disciples, if they don't receive you, if it doesn't go as planned, if they don't like the message you bring, if they hurt and offend you, shake it off. Don't let that residue be weight on your life, holding you, preventing you from being who God called you to be. Says this, Galatians 6, verse 9. So let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest, a blessing, if we don't give up. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season, you will reap a harvest if you do not faint. If you don't quit, if you don't stop, if you keep going, if you shake it off and just keep going and just keep being who God calls you to be, I promise you, there's blessing at the other side of your obedience. Don't let the dust stop you. Don't let past failure stop you. Don't let past hurt stop you. No, shake that off and just keep going. Don't complain. Don't stand there and complain. Complaining's not going to fix anything. Have you ever noticed that? Complaining about how much someone hurt you, or complaining trying to prove you're not that person anymore. Don't complain. Don't play the blame game. Well, you did this and you did that. Don't get caught up in the I'm not good enough. Something must be wrong with me. How come they all leave? How come I'm the only one that gets... Don't go there. Don't sit there. Don't go to the what did I do wrong and try to search and find out all the areas that you messed it up. No, don't do that. Just keep going. The blessing is right around the corner. Shake it off. Let the past stay right in the past. It's time to move on to future blessing. I know that doesn't sit well with some of you, but I just want to tell you that when you hold on to your guilt, it will prevent you from being who you're called to be. And in this room, some of you have done some awful things that you're not proud of. That the world would hate you if they knew that you did that, you said that. The truth is, God still loves you. Not only does he love you, but he wants to restore you and build you greater than what they saw of you. Your past is simply just the past, because the best is yet to come and he's got something great for you. Don't you dare walk with that. And vice versa, some of you got so much hate in your heart for something someone did to you. Hurt in your heart is one thing, hate in your heart is another. The hurt's real. It's okay to hurt. But when you let that hurt turn into hate, bitterness, and revenge, prevents you from being all that God wants you to be. Because you're called to something greater than that. Some of you ladies, you've been molested as a kid. It's been killing you. Some of you men grew up without your dad and it's been killing you. Some of you had some awful marriages and it's been killing you. You have no sense of trust. You don't know how to trust anybody. Some of your relationship with your parents and your kids is horrible. It's been killing. Some of you, your relationship with your siblings over something so stupid. We got to learn how to forgive. You're better than that. And he's bigger than that. If you can close your eyes and bow your heads, first and foremost, maybe you're here today.